Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. It's an opportunity for me to talk with my spiritual guests, and we get to share in a beautiful conversation, usually relating to spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, and more. Uh-huh. And I'm delighted to have as my special guest today, John Holland. Thanks for being here today, John.
Please. It's about time.
There we go.
I'm honored to be here. So I know you've had a lot of my colleagues on here too, though.
Yes.
You know, Janet and Joe and Mavis and, you know, everybody.
Yes. It's definitely your turn. And I know it's going to be a lot of fun to have this conversation with you today.
Sure.
And I want to just introduce you to everybody else who may not be as well versed in who John Holland is. But John has been a professional medium for over 20 years and studied at Arthur Findlay College in England, and was the host of a History Channel show called Psychic History, which I'm sure would be fascinating to talk about with you sometime. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful the books that you've been able to put out and the understanding of spirit that you bring to your conversations. Sure. So today we're going to be focusing on embracing your spiritual gifts. And John is going to share some of his past history, what led him to this, and also give us some inspiration for our own journeys as mediums and soul.
There you go. Yeah. So thank you for having me.
Yes. So let's start at the beginning. You probably saw spirit when you were a child, and that was something that became normal. That's how it was for me too.
Right. And I mean, I'll start off that way. I mean, a lot of people have heard this story, and I wrote about it in Born Knowing, but many of us who are mediums, we've had some signs. I mean, some people haven't, but some people had, most of us had signs when we were a kid. I was extra sensitive. I was the different one out of five children, Irish, Italian, Catholic family. And I was always the different one. I was a very sensitive child. I was a very colicky baby. I was always either drawing or watching movies that had to do with magic, spirit, religion, any of the religious movies, Willa, like The Ten Commandments, The Song of Bernadette, The Lady of Fatima. I would watch that with my mom, and she would either wake me up to watch them, those, and I was always a little different. I knew things that I couldn't possibly have known as a child. I used to see the spirit people in my bedroom just walking through. I thought I was dreaming. I just thought I was dreaming. And I knew things. I knew when people were going to show up at the house or where we lived in an apartment in Massachusetts. And so it was always there. But I was always, my dad tried to get me to play sports with my brothers. I was happy with my face in a book or drawing. I came out of my mom practically drawing. And a lot of people who are like me, they have creative ability. Now the word, Will, is, it's so funny. Everything is empaths, right? Well, I think they just put a title to it. You know what I mean? I really do. But I guess I was that. And, you know, I was happy with my head under the covers at night with a flashlight reading or drawing or anything that had to do with magic, spirits, ghosts, even religion, biology, kind of, you know, science. And my favorite TV programs were I Dream a Genie, Bewitched, and Dark Shadows. For the people that are old enough to remember Dark Shadows, you're too young, Willa, to remember Dark Shadows. But it was a soap opera, you know, witches and vampires. So that was my childhood. And I was just very sensitive. And like today in society, I mean, there was a lot of bullying then, like there is now too. So I hid the ability. I just pushed it down, because when people start calling you weird and strange, you know, you don't want to be that way. And not only was I like that, a sensitive kid, but I was skinny as a rail, big ears, glasses with a patch. So I was a sight to behold as a child. So no, I was like that also. And then I hid the ability. And then I moved to Los Angeles many years later. And I always was fascinated by psychic work. And remember too, Willa, years ago, they didn't really have books. Any books you found were the kind with the worn edges or brown edges on the books. Yeah. I was even into stuff by yogis as a kid. So what brought this to my, this is what I try to teach my members or people with my soul. What brought me to that kind of, why was I born this way? Why was it a past life? It was too familiar to me. I don't know, but I'm going to start right off with the interview. I never set out to be a medium. I didn't know this was going to happen. Years later, I was in an automobile accident, and that's when all the abilities that I had came forward. But it wasn't really the accident. It was the trauma of the accident. The car was crunched. I walked away from it and I didn't get upset. I just looked up and said, thank God. I was living in LA as a young man and, you know, partying too much, doing too much, didn't know what I was doing. That accident woke me up. I got my life together. A relationship that I was in ended. I got my own apartment. I got my life together. So when I believe when I was in alignment, some people call it a Kundalini awakening. Well, I just think that I just got my life together. And when that got to, when my life got together, that's when the abilities came out full force. And the psychic ability was through the roof. It was, I literally felt an energy going through me. And then, I mean, this is featured on the TV show Unsolved Mysteries from that show. So if people look it up, they could find it. I mean, it's me in a younger John, but they had an actor play me. But when that happened, I went back to working studying psychic stuff. Why is this happening? Because it was just happening. Well, I was working at a bar in Century City in LA. People would walk up to the bar. And I always tell my students now, don't do what I'm about to tell you that I did. Do not walk up to people, everybody, okay? Do not do that. I don't care how much they showed on TV, but people would walk up to the bar and I would say something like this. This is true. I'd look at someone and go, your poodle died yesterday? They'd be like, oh my God, how could you have known? I mean, the stuff that would come out, my friend Vincent who passed away, he said, John, you can't scare people like that. So I was just, you know, and then there's ways, impression versus expression, there's ways to give it up. So I studied more about psychic ability. And then I said, maybe it's time to start doing readings. And everyone, I didn't quit my day job. Okay, I didn't quit my day job. I started doing reading cards at an aromatherapy shop in West LA, and I started getting a name as a good reader. And that's and basically that's how it started. 2 years into doing psychic work, and a lot of people may see this who are new or don't know about mediumship, but there's psychics and then there's mediums. And you know the expression, every medium is psychic, but not every psychic is a medium. I was working psychically. And what's the difference? Someone would sit in front of me and the cards would spark my intuition. And so I'm reading the person in front of me, their aura, I'm getting it from them, their past, their present, their potential future. Then 2 years into doing readings, what happened? Something changed, Willa. Somebody showed up, an old woman showed up in the reading, and I was reading for this girl named Mari, who was an artist. And it wasn't, where is my life going reading? It was, where is my artwork going? We talked about colors. We talked about different modalities or different tools she could use. And then as that happened, there was an old woman. Now, not like the movies, everyone, where it wasn't objective. It was subjective, but kind of objective. I saw this older woman, her clothes didn't match. And I said, and that was a strange thing to notice. And she just kept doing this with the ring. And I looked right at Mari. I said, Mari, there's a lady right beside you. Her clothes don't match. She's an elderly woman. And she's showing me a diamond. Well, she screamed, got up. And I screamed, got up. She hugged me. I hugged her. And I said, what was that? Because it was a totally different feeling. And she said that her great aunt Ada, who helped raise her, was colorblind, hence the different color clothes. And the ring that Mari was wearing, the diamond, was the diamond wedding ring that she inherited from her aunt Ada. Yeah. And so that's what it was. And I said, okay, so that was the first time spirit made contact that way with me. And every reading I did, somebody would show up. And I said, what is happening? But I am all about the mechanics of how this works. Maybe it's because I grew up as a street kid. I didn't want to do, if I was going to do that, I didn't even know what it was back then. I didn't know the word medium. I didn't know it. I looked it up and everything went to spiritualist, right? So what happened, I believe, that after 2 years of doing the readings, and some people, they want to go right to mediumship. Start off with your psychic faculties first, everyone, I believe, for me, all right? Learn the mechanics. What happened was after reading for 2 years, a number of them, I think, Willa, what happened was my aura expanded. So those on the other side could get closer. I must have raised my consciousness enough, probably, or my vibe. You know how it is. You raise yours, they lower theirs, and then there's a blending. So the blending happened when it was ready, I guess, after doing it over and over and over. So I said, okay. People are showing up. Everything I read was on spiritualism. Every book I read, I never even heard of spiritualism. I didn't know it was at the Fox sisters and started, but look at Lily Dale. And I didn't know it started in the States. I did some research. Everything was from England because you know that spiritualism went over there big time.
Oh, big.
So, yeah. Right. So I was reading these books, and in two weeks into reading these books, I said, wow, if I could go to England and study with these people. Well, I'm out at a party. I step on a person's foot. Where are they from? England. I got invited over. There was a room. And I said, well, how do I? Now, remember, everyone, why I'm telling you this story, I know it's a little long. Synchronicity. Spirit led me. I was following my soul. There's no limits to the spirit world, to God, their source. We put limits on ourselves. So I met this guy, and he said, well, I have a room if you ever want to come over. And I said, well, how am I ever going to get there if I work? Well, the hotel that I worked for closed. It was a flagship. They closed. We were all laid off. I got the time, but how am I going to pay my rent? A friend of mine in New England calls me and says, I want to be a writer. John, I want to study writing in LA. Debbie said that you might go to England. You might go. If you go, can I live at your apartment and pay your rent? I said, fine. So my rent's paid. I had a little savings. So now I could have talked myself out of it. Who do I think I am? I don't want to go to another country. I don't know this guy really, but we did talk for months. And I went. And I didn't go there to go sightseeing, Willa. I went there on a mission. Because I knew I had a limited time there, but I had a place to stay. And there were 10, I think there was either eight, I think there was like eight churches, spiritual churches in the area. So I started going to them to open circle, watching mediums. And then I started inquiring. And then a lot of arms opened up. And that's what my book Born Knowing is about. And believe it or not, I don't believe someone has, it's mentioned in the book, some books with Arthur Ford and a few other people that went to England. But I was the first person to write about studying with the spiritualist and bringing back information to America. Believe it or not, I mean, a whole book, you know, how it all happened. So I was taken into a closed circle. You know what a closed circle is, everyone? It's like you have to be picked. It's almost like auditioning. I sat in circle for 2 years, okay? For the people that want the mediumship fast, for 2 years, I sat in an inspirational circle with mediums, closed circle, every Tuesday. If you were late, they'd lock the door. If spirit's making time for you, you better make time for spirit. And we would sit there in circle, 10 of us, with another medium. Her eyes would be open and she'd watch all of us. We would learn what it was like to have our guides come close, to give off information, to feel images and words. And then we'd give a few messages. So I did that for 2 years. Then getting to the Arthur Findlay stuff. A lot of people, I think the press made a mistake. They said that I went to Arthur Findlay for 2 years. You know you can't go for 2 years. You can't, physically, you can't do it. I went for a week with a lot of, I mean, so many people, they passed away, but you know, the big names, Judith Seaman, Jean Bassett, Leonard Owens, you know, some of them are still here. And then I went back again. But the training that I got at Arthur Findlay, have you been there, Willa?
I have not.
Okay.
But well, you know, they work you from
you're working from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. So, you know, 7 days. So that's a lot. And it's some people, they might take 1 or 2 weeks there, but that's the most physically you should take. But the training was intense, but I learned two words there, linking and blending. And I went, oh, So that's what that was. So that gave me a foundation, but sitting with the mediums every week for 2 years is when I started really getting into it, and then doing some church demonstrations. Then I met Gordon Smith, a brilliant Scottish medium. He took me under his wing. There were so many people that took me under their wings and in their homes. It was fantastic. So think about it. It happened. I read the person's foot I stepped on, got to go to England. It just one thing happened after another. And one more thing. When you go to England, you can go there for 6 months on a guest visa, a visiting visa. Then you have to come back, renew it, stay here. I did that 2 or 3 times. I was tired of doing it. And I said, I wish I could just stay in England for a year. So a friend of mine that I was staying with, Simon, his friend, Clark, had a company. He said, John, apply for a visa as a student in my company and see if you can get a visa. He goes, this is the name of the visa. So I filled it out and I got a letter back, Willa, saying, so I get a letter in England and it's made out, Dear John, and there it is from the, you know, immigration. And I open it up and I was denied because it wasn't for US states for this kind of visa. They didn't honor the US. But yet with the letter was the visa. So here's the letter saying no, but here's the visa fully embossed with my name on it. And I'm like, no, you are not eligible, but here it is. So tell me how that happens. Tell me how that happens. I think when the guy looked away, maybe spirit just slipped it into the envelope. So I got to stay there for another year fully and study. It's amazing. I got to go to Scotland. One thing led to another. Then I came back to Los Angeles. Unsolved Mysteries picked up the story about me. Then I moved to New England. It just one thing led to another, to another, to another. And I kept my day job, I'm saying it again, for 9 years. 9 years. I was so tired. I would work all day in an office and then do readings. I was tired emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. I said, how am I going to keep doing this work? Then a nun showed up on a train. That's a whole nother story at another time. But basically, every time I thought I can't do this, another parent would show up that lost a child. And I said, okay, this is what I'm doing. So one thing led to another, to the books, to the TVs, I never set out to do this. I was guided and I trusted and I followed the signs. So there it is in a 10-minute story.
In a nutshell, that is such a beautiful story from moving in from that near-death experience. I think that can really jar some people into a different state of consciousness or awareness if they let it.
Right.
And then to be allowing your soul to lead you in beautiful ways. It is a very important thing as you're developing your intuition to not listen sometimes to that rational mind, but to the intuitive spaces of yourself. And that's what you were doing all along the way. And spirit does guide that path that helps us along the way. And I love the point you're making that it's not just quit your day job and move on into that sort of thing. I actually feel like it balances people out to have that kind of regular job activity, almost like it activates things in a different way with the left brain. And then you can do more of that right brain work as the medium and evolve. And it helps so that you don't end up woo-woo. Right? You know what I'm saying? You have that balanced approach to things, because otherwise you can go into a superior space that is not helpful in your mediumship development.
Absolutely. And when I got into that accident, I didn't complain. I just thank God. I didn't go, oh, lucky on that one. You know the expression, everything happens for a reason. I love that saying and I hate that saying. I don't understand why things happen. How can I tell a mother that when she loses her two kids, tragically, everything happens, you'll know a higher purpose. That's not helping. I don't know why some things happen. And I like that saying, I don't like that saying, but it's what you do about the situation of when it happens. So when that accident happened, I didn't complain, I moaned, I thank God, and it changed my life. So if anyone had a trauma in your life, what do you do about the situation is the free will part. You see, so, and that's what I did. And I did trust where I was going. And then, Hay House picked me up and I toured with them for 17 years. And it was amazing. I didn't have the opportunity to go from reading to small groups to bigger groups. I went from one-on-ones to teaching a psychic development class at Unicorn Bookstore to 800 to doing something with John Edwin in Vegas. He called me to do something to 2,000 people to 3,000 with Hay House. You know what's funny though, Willa? You know, people say, you know this, how do you know where to go in an audience? They were working with me. I didn't have time to go from smaller group, build. I was put up there. So I know them on the other side. Guides said, okay, we got to work with him this way. I just knew what direction in 3,000 people. Sometimes it was even more, close to 3,600. And you got to be kind of accurate. You know what I mean? Because if you say, I have a father here who's talking about cancer, well, how many hands would go up, right? So amazing training, but I trusted those on the other side. And, and you have to have a balance. Some people, you're a physical being and a spiritual being. Some people are so physical, they forget about the spiritual side. You're a soul that comes with a body, not a body that soul.
Yes.
The body. Not a body that comes with the soul. Your soul is living inside your body or around it or attached to it, right? So I trusted that all that soul information that was coming through. So then the story just continued, with Hay House and going on. But like I said, I forgot where I was going with that, but okay. Physical being spiritual being. We're so physical, we forget the spiritual side of us because we're so locked here. And when you're asking, what am I doing? I'm going, why is this happening to me? If you're asking questions like that of yourself too, when's the last time you checked in with your soul? That's your soul's way of saying, how about checking in with me? Sometimes we're too spiritual. Some people take work, they'll take the angels, the mediumship, the psychic development, the feng shui, the channeling. They're going so spiritual, they're forgetting about the physical side. Okay, everyone? And one gentleman said to me in an audience once, he said, why would I want to explore my psychic intuition or my spiritual side? Why would I want to do that? It makes you too sensitive. I said, sir, you're a physical being and a spiritual being. To only live one way is living a life half lived. Do you understand? And I don't know about you, Willa, we're still trying to get that balance. And the thing that keeps me balanced is my dog. Okay, I get to go out and there's nothing without, are you a dog owner, Willa?
I am. And I'm also a mother and a wife, and that helps to keep balance as well.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I tell people too that mothers and mother wives and mothers and husbands or whatever, don't forget about your family when your spiritual door opens, okay? And I always say too, with the greatest respect, it's not always about you. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Yeah. So it's and luckily I've been in relationships with, I need someone that grounds me, Willa. You know what I mean? Your partner, do they do what you do?
No.
See?
But yeah, he's so supportive and I think he's quite intuitive in his own way, but right. Not to do the work.
Right. Some people misquoted me and said, John said he'd never be with another psychic. I said, no. I said, I'd never want to be with someone like me. All right. Because I'm high energy. I need somebody grounding. So we brought something to each other in that relationship. Okay. That the person, you know, that it lasted 13 years, it ended, but it's okay. We're friends. When I hear the person say, well, spirit says it might be doing this for you. Never would have talked that way before. So I opened their spiritual eyes or spirit opened their eyes. So you got to have some type of balance, everybody. It's only going to make you a better medium or psychic or sensitive and a better human. But don't ever forget about your spiritual side. We forget about our soul that's waiting to help us.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's something that so often someone will come for a reading and will be talking to their loved one in spirit, and they'll be wanting to take a survey with the peanut gallery, as it were. And it ultimately has to be their choice, their decision, their free will that is engaging in those moments. And so it's about empowering them to make that decision. And mm-hmm. if their head and heart are at war, you need to listen to your soul, because that really sets everything into the place it needs to be. If you go back to those spiritual principles time and time again, it's what will lead you in the correct direction, because you'll be in that divine right frame of mind to accept mm-hmm. that which is yours by divine right.
That's right. Yeah.
A beautiful path that we can choose to be on if we embrace it in that way. Ultimately, as I interview different mediums and have so many friends that are mediums, you know, we all have that understanding. It's how we choose to apply it. We take it out of theory and put it into practice.
Yeah. And I have friends that aren't mediums. They could give a toss that I do this. They don't talk about it. They don't ask me a reading, because some people think, does he read for you? Does he read? Like, no, the more you get to know me, the less I'll read for you, because I know too much about you. But I have friends that have nothing to do with this work, and that's great. And you know who's some of my best friends are? My dog people. Yep. They are. They really, really are. But I'm glad that you have some people around you, that you have your own little support group there. You know, but I do have my spiritual people too. So that's good. But it's like, it's following your soul's wisdom that it's trying to guide you. And it's trying, your soul's trying to talk to you all the time, but we don't listen. Dreams, intuition, synchronistic events. And I think when you have a synchronistic event, a lot of people are like, what a coincidence. When you meet somebody in the store that you haven't seen, but you were just thinking of them, most people be like, how weird, how strange. There's something there. There's a reason why you met. There's something there, but don't explain it away as coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I really, really don't. So follow the signs. Follow the signs. And a lot of people too, Willa, when I was in England, I'm sure you've heard this, mediums are born, not made. And I'm only going by their teaching, the teachers, and I, you know, and then someone says, you know, how could you say that when you train people? Well, it took years for me to realize everybody has the potential. Everybody does. We're all born with the potential. Some are stronger than the others. Obviously, I was born with a strong potential for this. Some people may not have a stronger potential. You just have to work harder at it. Do you understand? Yes. Yeah. And it should be, it's a calling. It's a calling because I've had people say a lot of times, a psychic says that I should be a medium. How do I do about that? How would I may say to someone, oh, you got some mediumship ability. I never say you should be. That person should find out for himself because now the person's confused. They're like, a psychic told me, do you feel that calling? Have you ever been drawn to this? No. And I'm like, it's a calling. And I don't think people realize too, Willa, it's a life of service. And I've never stayed away from that. That's why I do a lot of charities. It's a life of service, giving back, mm-hmm. receive, mm-hmm. give back. Yeah.
So it's part of that understanding that even though it wasn't on the list of career choices in high school, you know, of what are you going to be when you grow up, that it's something that you move into in the right time in your life. Maybe that early, mid or late life that you start to explore that for yourself. Yep. And I think that when you do that, in my case, I just became more and more of a sponge to it. I had to, eat everything I could in terms of books and classes and everything and just be in that essence. And it's such an important thing when you know it's time that you pay attention to those signs, those signals. Yeah. And as you said, there's synchronicities. The right teachers will show up in your life. And then as you progress as a professional medium, the right client will show up in your life and they'll be drawn synchronistically. I've had so many occasions where a person has explained how they came to me and it's just like, it blows my mind sometimes what spirit will do.
Yeah.
Get their attention. So they've had dreams where someone has said, you need to go and see a medium, the medium named Willa. Boom. So they're drawn into those ways. I'm sure you've had those synchronicities as well, where clients have found you because they knew they needed to connect with
spirit. Right. And I don't do a lot of them because of my schedule, but I do have a wait list. What's great is I don't do them because I have to. I do them because I want to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but I've had people say, I always ask before, how did you hear of me? And because they've been on the wait list so long, sometimes they forget. And it's like, they saw me on the internet or YouTube or so-and-so, but it's however it's supposed to happen, it happens. But and for the mediums out there too, though, I don't know about you, Will, you've been doing this for a number of years, but have you noticed, is your work changing at all? Has something been added to your toolbox?
Always.
Right. And we're never done learning. We are never done learning. And you remember when you said you read everything you could? So did I. I ate it up. I did a lot of it in England because I knew I wasn't going to stay there forever. But I wanted to get as much knowledge as I could. But my mediumship is changing. It's getting more into a lot more of the energy. I'm into animals energy now. More animal Reiki. I'm involved with animals. The medical stuff is happening. It's just happening. I know things about people's bodies and medical conditions that never happened before. Now and this is how it works. I know that, and it's when. When I start studying more about the human body, about medical intuition, I know it's going to be added. I feel like I'm being guided. And it keeps coming and you have the choice. If something is approaching you and you're like, wow, that's different. If it keeps coming back, it's not your imagination. Imagination will come in and go away, come once or twice. Intuition, your soul will keep coming back. So if I was to add more to my training, they have more to use. And we'll see where this goes. I still love being a medium, serving that way and helping people connect, but it's changing now and I'm okay with that. I am really okay with that.
And it is more than just being about a medium, as you said. It you evolve into a different state of understanding that other people will take over some of those mediumship understandings and help the people and serve them, and that you are needing to serve people in another unique way. But Spirit works with us in such dynamic, purposeful ways, and you get a reputation, not just here on Earth plane, but in Spirit.
That's right. They don't realize that, but this scene, they're watching you too on the other side.
And then they're saying, you know what? Let's give John this. Let's give him this information so he can help this group of people or this group of animals. Or, you know, it's a phenomenal thing to know that they still care so much and so deeply about the people here on the Earth plane that they do keep their finger on the pulse and those of that higher space really do assist in the healing of other people.
Yeah.
So I can see you're embracing it in those ways.
I am, because, and I'm open to it because, like I said, I've been doing this for, you know, over two decades. People are calling me a pioneer in the business now and made me feel older, but I'll take it. I thought about it. I'm like, okay, 20 years. My first book came out in 2003. So yeah. So we're in, like, you know, 18 years in, and I've been all, you know, all over the United States, and I haven't, in England, I did a lot of the churches. I did a few churches here, but a lot of people are like, why don't you serve the churches? I will, I promise. But by me being on the stage in front of 3,000, if I brought spiritualism to them or the knowledge of it or communication on the other side, then that's fine. You know what I mean? And I'm still the same guy that I was. I mean, I'm very approachable. And when I went to England, they asked me, no offense, when I went there, they gave me an assessment, all right? And they said, you need to slow down, lose the accent, start wearing a suit and tie, and don't pace on the stage. Well, then you might as well say, because we teach people, the students, be your own medium. Never emulate someone else, because then you come in second best to the original, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You like that? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I took some of their advice, but to put me in a suit and a tie, that's British. No disrespect, guys, okay, who are watching it from over there, but that's not who I am. I did slow down on the stage because I used, you know, the energy that's going through us. I broke my foot and I started doing, I did a demonstration sitting down with the cast, and I realized it was just as powerful and less energy to do it. That instead of using the energy for pacing, it was all part of it. You ever see Tony Stockwell work? You ever see Tony Stockwell? So he rocks, right? And you know, so he's holding it all in there. It was a clairsentient, beautiful energy if you ever get to see him work. But yeah, so just trusting where you're going and be open and say, all right, Spirit, help me to work. Here's another good thing for people. Some people will, they're like, I don't want to work clairsentient. I want to hear more. Give me names. I want to know dates. Dear Spirit, help me to work the way you want me to work, not the way I want to work. So I'm open to that, and I'm getting all the signs, and it's my sole decision to say, okay, I'm going to do that or not, or pull away and say, I'll never do it. So, but I am being drawn to it. So I'm going to follow it. Spirit hasn't been wrong ever since they started with me. So, and they've always been there. They were waiting for me to get help me. They were waiting for me to get my life together before they could enter. Yeah.
And you are strongly clairsentient and clairvoyant predominantly, correct?
Yeah, I started, I got an artistic mind. Like I said, I never went to college. I didn't want to say, I try not to have regrets, but I was always very artistic. I never really took classes. And if I took a class, they'd be like, where did you study? I never did. It was just natural. I think it was already there, right? So I think that if I aim towards spirit art, I could do it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm a good colleague with Joe Scheel and Rita Berkowitz. So, I mean, there they are, right? The only two, I mean, there are more out there. There's
my mother is a spirit artist as well.
Is she really? So yes. So girl, it's in the family then.
It's in the family.
Right. Yeah. So that could be another venue that I go to. But you see what happens is I was born with this artistic ability. And then my dad bought me an easel and forced me to draw as a child. Here, draw a horse, draw it. And he would just do it when he would, you know, I can say it, people know, he would be drinking and force me to draw. Well, you just took all the joy and the passion out of it, right? So now I'm finally picking up the charcoals and, you know, if that's meant to go there, it'll go there. But I will sketch while I'm doing reading. So That's why I always got a pad and paper and a pen in front of me, whether it's an interview or a drawing. But I'm fascinated by this work. I'm still amazed by when stuff comes through, Willa, that's absolutely amazing. Comes through. And for the people, I know I'm teaching as I'm lecturing too, Willa.
That's what this show is for.
Right. For the newer students, here's a little here's a little ego check for you. When you start saying, I got this, I got that, I got this, I'll say that right to the student. Was it, did you get it or was it given?
Mm-hmm.
From spirit through spirit to spirit. Do you understand? So
that's right.
Yeah, it'll keep you humble. You know what I mean? It's coming through you. And I think it was Mavis that taught this in England, or I heard her say, well, you're just a tube. You're just a tube. And I'm like, that'll keep you humble. You're just a tube.
Yes. Keep it humble and keep it authentic in that space. Yeah. And I think the part that is our responsibility as a medium is to be of clear channel as much as we can.
That's right.
To really be in that mindset, that raised vibration, right? That's why laughter and the raising of vibration can be so important for mediumship and for sustaining that energy. Spirit seems to ride in on that wave of love. And it's so beautiful if we can allow that. So I think we can say, I allowed spirit to work through me. And it's one of the best things you can possibly imagine. But you know, I feel it's more valuable to feel spirit in some ways. I would rather feel the emotions and feel the essence of a spirit rather than just have a name.
If you can bring
the essence.
If you're blending with somebody, a spirit on the other side, you're seeing through their eyes, and you're taking on mannerisms of their personality, that is so much more, they're like, oh my God, you're acting just like my mother, you're moving like my mother or my grandfather, I might have the little cigarette or cigar in my mouth, say, who had this? Or the cigar behind the ear stroke victim. But when you bring through their personality, it's amazing. And I will tell people, someone who's sitting in front of me or the audience, look, how many of you had they were a piece of work while they were here? They weren't the nicest person. Hands go up. Mm-hmm. They will come through with that personality because I have a father here. He's saying he wasn't the nicest guy, da, 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 da. And I said, because they don't have that person, I got to let the person know they're not like this anymore. Because if they were a piece of work here, for the people who don't know, they think they're the same on the other side, that they're mm-hmm. still mean or nasty on the other. No, if I was to say to a woman who was raised by a dad that wasn't the greatest dad or a parent, or let's not try to blame parent, anybody in their life, and they passed over, I will say, if I said to them, what a kind, peaceful, graceful, serene, they'd be like, that's not them. But if I gave their personality, they know it's them. So yeah, to be a clairsentient, to feel their mannerism, and that's how I'll feel their age too, Willa. That's how I know if it's a man or woman, young or old, I'll feel it. And then I might hear or see something that comes in. Yeah, you can feel it. F-E-E-E-E-E-E-L. Feel your way.
That's a lot of feeling going on there.
That's right.
So I just want to take you back into the spirit art. When you are starting with your spirit art now, are you noticing that you are seeing it happen on the paper and feeling inspired by spirit in that way? Are you also simultaneously feeling spirit connect with you in the usual way?
I really haven't studied it. Like if I was to sit with Joe and I have never taken a spirit art class. All right.
You don't necessarily need to.
No, but I mean, there is ways to draw the face though. You know what I mean?
Sure,
if you
want
to do it. But I will have a pad and I'll start drawing what I see, what I'm being given too. I might start off psychically, but I will be getting symbols, whether it's the apple tree, and I'll start, you know, an aurogram.
Exactly.
So I will like draw something. I'll be like, what's this? And people are like, oh my God, that's my mother's so-and-so, the so-and-so. So I'm starting off that way. But for me to, I could draw faces, but not the way, and I know me, I'm OCD. You got to know what they look like. It'd have to be properly, maybe take a couple of art classes on the human head and go from there. But for everyone, and I teach this in my mediumship training deck, whatever you put in your toolbox can be used by spirit. And if I knew plumbing, they would know it. They would use it. And And I tell my students also, Will, and this is, and we weren't sure where this interview is going to go. Now I see why you leave it free flowing. I tell my beginning students, right? I'll say, a lot of us, I don't know about you, Will, how are your, do you get lost a lot in the car? Well, not anymore because we got GPSs. How are you with your directions? How are you?
My husband is the geography king. He's the one who helps with the directions.
Right.
But when it comes to me doing mediumship, I know exactly who I'm going to. So okay. I know the exact direction of where to go with the spirit contact, but right. I can point in the wrong direction for right. when I say something's over there. It's yeah. very interesting.
My inner compass is off, but say this is the United States. Okay. I know. All right. Mm-hmm. But instead of saying, you know what a child's puzzle is of the United States, the wooden blocks, I bought one of those because instead of saying, because I'll ask people, where's North Dakota? Where's Wyoming? A lot of us don't know. We don't. And a lot of us aren't
over great. There.
Yes. Instead of saying, why are they telling me to go west? But if you know where California is or Arizona or Wyoming, the spirit can say, I'm from here. I'm from there. Yes, you could hear it clairaudiently. But instead of saying, okay, what's above here and over here? If you have the map, they can use it. And if you have the part, and I have a very simple one in my class that I'm teaching next weekend, Awaken Your Psychic Strength, I'll show the students where they, there's all kinds of intricate designs of the human body. There's medical books, but I have it like, where's the liver, the pancreas, the lungs? Know where the human organs are, everyone. Instead of saying, your father's showing me in here. Well, is it the liver? Is it the aorta? Is it the heart? If you know some of the basic organs where they are, they can use it. Instead of saying, I have a pain in my stomach. Well, now you can say, I'm picking up, I have someone who's stepping forward that had the colon resectioning and they passed away. You just know where it is. So the more you put into your toolbox, the more they can use. So think of Albert Best, brilliant Scottish medium. He could give you names, first names, last names. Do you ever hear of Albert Best,
Willa? I have, yes.
Right, so he was the mentor to Gordon Smith. Okay. And I learned about him through Gordon, and he could give names and addresses, first and last names. Why? Because he was a mailman.
That's what he did. Yeah.
That's what he did. And he didn't look through the books, but he delivered every day. So they know how to work with him with how to pronounce people's last names. And, you know, some people said, for an exercise, walk through a graveyard sometime and look at all the different names, first and last names. If you were to study names, a baby book, because there's so many last names, I bet you could get it, because everyone's fascinated. If I could just get names. But you know what's funny? The client or the people, they might forget everything else you said, but he got my mother's name. You know what I mean? It's bizarre. People expect it, but I don't focus on that.
Do you feel that's more about educating the client in that case?
Right, yeah. I know if I get a name, I don't give every name that pops into my conscious door arena. If it comes back three times, who's Jim? Oh my God, that's my dad. I have to hear it a few times because I don't want them to go, no, no, nope. Either you're getting it, you're off, or the person's not thinking. Do you know what I mean? The person in front of you. Yeah.
So in terms of your mediumship, when you hear that no, what happens to you?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It just makes, and being with Janet and Havoc and being with other mediums, when somebody says no, it is true. It just makes you work harder. I don't just, if it's no, 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 I'll say to the person, all right, I'm going to push that aside. I'm not the kind to hold on to it like a piece of meat until we get it. I'll move on because I want the glass to keep filling. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I could empty it. Mm-hmm. Then it'll come back to me. It'll come back to me in a different way when they say no, whether it's a name or something else. I put it back to the spirit world and say, they don't understand, and they'll bring it back in another way. I try not to let people go home with a bunch of no's because I want them. And I say to people too, skeptics say the client's only remembering the yeses and they're forgetting about the no's. I want people to remember the no's. I want them to do a little research. But as you do more and more, you'll get more yeses than no's. But no doesn't bother me. But now, because of Janet, the lovely woman she is, and if she's watching this, I've seen her do this. Nope. I saw her do one at the Unity Church in a demonstration with me. She was putting on these stretchy socks that soccer players wear. She goes, who plays soccer? Because they're putting the socks on me. The guy's like, nope, doesn't make sense. She goes, now, wait a minute, sir. They wouldn't be putting socks on me if it didn't mean something. Let me help you with that. So all she has to say is, if someone says no, she knows by assessing the situation, that's what she says, she knows she can say, let me help you with that. She mind maps. You know what I mean? She goes back to it. She does a little more mind focus. She goes, you know your Aunt Lois? Oh my God, that I do have an Aunt Lois on your father's side, right? Isn't her kid played for the professional soccer team who and it works. So just by you saying, let me help you with that, just stretch it a little more. Don't just take the no as it. Yeah.
But I've also noticed that spirit will sometimes correct the client. Yeah. And they'll say, no, that's not right. It's not one, it's two. Or you know, they'll tell people. It's very interesting because it's not just about the client and what they want per se. Yeah. Also what spirit decides to share. And just like in a conversation, you never know how it's going to unfold. And that's why every sitting with a medium, every message that a medium gives is part of that experimental session.
Keyword, experimental, because we don't know what's going to happen. But I love when they correct the client or they correct me. Or they'll tell me to slow down and I'm telling them to slow down. But I'll say, they're showing me the big birthday in February. Oh my God, that's my father's birthday. I said, oh, wait a minute. There are two other birthdays. They're like, oh my God, I fuck my kid.
Yeah.
So I love it when they do that because there is an intelligence on the other side. So I am blessed that I get to work with brilliant mediums, people inside this world of ours, Willa. In this wonderful world of ours and others who aren't here, from life coaches to Greg Britt to scientists and everybody that I've ever toured with. And I'm quite lucky, quite blessed. And I just follow the signs. So if you're getting those signs, don't talk yourself out of it. If you're getting the signs, all right, if you feel that calling, if you're ready for a life of real service, and you got to Willie, I don't know about you, but you got to put the work in, right? You got to put the work in. I'm letting you in all my secrets. We had this woman call the office and she spoke to my assistant, Laura. She goes, can you tell me how long it takes to be a medium? And she said, John sat for 2.5 years in Circle. He went to England and it took him 2.5 years. And Gordon Smith, he sat in Circle for 5 before he even got out there, or 9, I forget, to really develop it deeply and, you know, accurately. And when we told her that I sat for 2 years, okay, which is less than some people, she said, oh, no, dear. I can't do that. She said, I need it in the weekend. And so I don't know if somebody told her to do this or what, but you can't take a course in one weekend and then pop up a website. And why am I so adamant about this? Why? And some people think I'm tough about it. I'm sorry. You got a parent that's coming to a demonstration that've never heard of mediumship or spiritualism. A friend brought them. They lost their kid, this woman, say. And then they see it and the medium's not ready to go on platform or to do mediumship yet. That person, that mother, may walk away saying, this is what a medium does. And they may never come back to the service of a medium and how it could help them. So if you're going to do this work, it's a huge responsibility. Get your training. And make sure you understand, because you're being watched by them and for the people here. I don't want someone doing a bad representation of us, you know, unless they're ready to do it. And I'd hate for that mother to walk away thinking that that medium who had an off night maybe is we're all like that, you know.
I couldn't agree more. There has to be a standard for these things. And it does take time and energy, and you know, natural ability certainly helps. That passion to know more, to inquire more, to be imaginative and explore the world of spirit. Those are such necessary things to really reinforce that which is right practice and right intention with the work.
Yeah, so, don't talk yourself. If you do the work, Willa, I mean, we get the calling from our soul, from spirit, the source, God, the divine. There's no limits. We're the ones that put limits on ourselves. Who do I think I am? How am I ever going to train? How am I ever going to take a class? So you just put a limit on yourself by that negative thinking. Sometimes it's from past thinking of the rich get rich, the poor get poorer. Who do you think you are? Life is tough. Good guys finish last. Some of that's still stuck in our people. You could do all the work you want. Do all the tarot cards you want. Collect all the angel cards you want. Do all the work. But unless you work on that. Don't they teach us well to get to know your own spirit first?
Yes, it's spiritual unfoldment of the soul.
My favorite word, the unfoldment of your soul. It's that, okay? We put limits on it. You have to work on past stuff to continue forward. If you got some trauma in the past or forgiveness, and how can you be a medium if you're hating somebody and you're not willing to forgive them, guys, all right? Okay. It's working on what is stopping you. What are you talking yourself out of? Not just for mediumship, for anything, Willa. You know what I mean? Work on that past program. Yeah. So
such a key element to embracing your spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you sharing all of this with us.
God, I could tell you are the most loving person. I've seen you I saw you on TV, and it was on the Lisa Ling when they visited Lilydale. I'm like, who's this woman? Or young lady, I should say, and brilliant. And maybe when I get to Lilydale, and I've been there a few times. I wish them well this year, also. And it is, things are getting better little by little, everyone too. So, but thank you for the interview.
Absolutely.
Willow Wednesday, and if you're getting the signs, everyone, all right, just follow them and see. And if you don't know where you're going, anyone. All right. Well, about a year and a half ago, let me end with this. A year and a half ago, I was a little lost. Where am I going? What am I doing? What do I want? And my manager said, where do you want to take this work, John? And I'm like, I'm a medium. It's like saying to a plumber, where do you want to take it? I'm a plumber. But sometimes you have to live into the answer. Sometimes you have to, sometimes you need to put in life, you got a boat with oars. Sometimes you need to steer to that goal. Like going to England, and sometimes you need to put the oars down and see where the current of life is taking you. And that's what I did. And one thing led to another, and I started my membership and, came out with the deck. So sometimes you have to live into the answer, everyone. But I think you were lovely to asking me some questions, and it's good to meet you finally and talk with you. And I hope your audience, maybe there's one thing in here that they'll get, and they'll be like, okay, maybe they were synchronistically supposed to watch us today.
Thank you so much, John. That is just such powerful energy and information you shared with us today about embracing spiritual gifts. And I encourage everybody to check out johnholland.com. That's John's website. So you can see the workshops that he's offering. I believe availability online, and maybe eventually some in person soon too. And we hope to have you back on the show sometime. Thanks for watching, everyone, on Wednesdays with Willa. I'll see you next week, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.